PT Final Exam is an awesome resource for students preparing to take the National Physical Therapy Exam. Visit them online at ptfinalexam.com/pintcast. That's ptfinalexam.com/pintcast.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
Next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. Our guest tonight is Vice President of Strategic Communications and Alliances for the American Physical Therapy Association. He just started his 13th year with the APTA. Previously was the APTA's Director of Web and New Media. Among his duties at the APTA, he hosts the Move Forward Radio podcast and, you've seen him online, video dispatches from all the conferences around the country. Previous to APTA, he was the lead writer and editor of Packers.com for the Green Bay Packers and worked in media relations for Arizona State University. Ladies and gentlemen, on the PT Pintcast, Jason Bellamy. Jason, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Doing this one live. I like when we can do that.
That's nice.
We're live at a bar. We're doing this at an American Tap Room, a place I might have frequented a couple times after tests in PT school in Arlington, Virginia. And what are we drinking? That's the first question. It's always the hardest.
Easy one for me. I'm drinking water, which is not unusual, but it's especially refreshing.
Dihydrogen monoxide.
It's a great one. It's local brew, but people can usually find it in their own area. It's refreshing. It's just hot today, so it's nice.
You gotta drive. You gotta drive.
And I'm gonna drive.
I'm doing one that my roommate actually suggested, which is the Flying Dog Numero Uno. I've had Flying Dog before, but I haven't had the Numero Uno, and really good.
You mentioned hanging out here after tests. You just had a big test. So let me play podcaster for a second. Tell me what was that test? How'd it go?
It was like a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
But it was the test.
It was the test. The MPTE. So I'm either done or I reload and I take it again in 3 months. No, it was long. I just recognized a couple times in the test. I'm like, my heart rate is jacked up and I'm sitting still and perfectly silent. And then you leave and you are spent. And then we got hammered.
A bunch of first-year students just decided to change their career aspirations right now. But anyway, I'm sure you did well. Congratulations. Yeah.
Everybody says that until the scores go down. But whatever. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm still freaked out. So you're all over. And you mentioned play podcaster. You're not playing podcaster. You do that.
Yep.
And you've done media relations for Arizona State.
Yep.
I want to get into the Packers.
Sure.
Brett Favre.
I was there for the Favre era.
Oh,
yes.
He's the guy. I was just watching him on ESPN the other day. He was doing a thing with John Gruden and just kind of, I mean, dude can still huck it.
I'm sure he can still huck it. Yeah.
So what's that? Like, what were your responsibilities? You're working on is it like a fan base website?
Yeah. It's their official team website. And basically it was, now this is popular everywhere, right? But at the time it was unusual. There were only a couple NFL teams that had somebody working for them who sort of covered them from the inside.
That's
basically
cool.
The amazing thing about the Packers job is that I didn't know it existed and somebody from them called me and thought
nice.
I might be a student, which is
you
amazing.
Got drafted.
Yeah, I got drafted, which was almost one of those like, is this a joke
kind
of thing. So they were looking for somebody to, you know, manage their website day to day, kind of build it out and draw more fans in, but also to basically cover them like a reporter would. And so I was a journalism major. That's my background.
Where'd you go to school?
Washington State University, Pullman, Washington. It's right on the Idaho border.
Nice.
In the middle of nowhere. It is an awesome college town. Amazing college experience. Proud to be a Coug. So did that. And then was there for the Favre season. So basically it was, like I said, covering them like a reporter. So sitting in press conferences, going to games, you know, all
that's
that stuff.
That's gotta suck, huh?
Getting paid to watch football. It's rough. It's rough.
That's awful.
Have an office at Lambeau Field is rough. Yeah.
That's a cool job.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool job.
So did that for a while, and then Arizona State was before that?
Was before that.
Okay.
Yep. So that's what I was doing when I got the call. Long story short, I applied for a job with the Houston Texans that somebody had, which was an upstart. They hadn't even started yet, which gives you a sense of the timeline. Somebody there gave my name to the Packers, and the Packers came, and it's like, yeah, Packers instead of Texans, I'll do that.
They gave you the nod. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So we're talking about the house.
Sure.
We're talking about the conference that just happened, and
yep.
You guys had a pretty big launch. So first of all, just go, what do you do at a conference? You're always somewhere with someone who either just spoke or is about to give a lecture. So you're everywhere. And I've been to, you know, 4 or 5 conferences. That's got to be a pretty cool thing to be on the inside of all those cool speeches.
Yeah, so conferences are fun. I mean, first of all, there's always a lot of prep running up, and then you get there and you sort of see what happens and go with it. But yeah, I do these video dispatches from the conferences. The original idea was we would get PT attendees to interview other PT attendees, sort of about like a session they were just in or something like that. And we tried that 1 year at CSM a few years ago in San Diego. And then what I realized was like, it was a huge logistical challenge. You had double the number of people you needed to track down. Right. You often had people who'd never been in front of the camera before, so they weren't especially comfortable holding the microphone or whatever. And so it took something that was designed to just be a quick, one-take, easy thing, and it made it complicated.
Yeah.
And so we said, how do we streamline this? And so I said, well, I can talk and hold a microphone, so I'll do it. But it's great, because it gives another people who can't be there, who want to get a sense of what was the McMillan lecturer like, and who's the lecturer if they don't know, and what are they like? You can got to kind of get a glimpse of that. So at the recent Next conference, I helped produce the opening event, which you talked to Nick Ballinger, and anybody who has not listened to that episode, I highly recommend it. It will. he's got an amazing story. It'll make you feel good about him. It'll make you feel good about physical therapy. Yeah. It's just, he was awesome.
He said the F word a lot.
He did, which is great.
And then he texted me later after he had eventually heard it. Because when you're in the moment, you're not counting F-bombs.
Right.
And he texted me later and he's like, hey man, just thanks again. That was awesome. Let me tell my story. All the tweets and retweets are really cool. It's cool to see how far this thing spread. And then he just wrote back, man, I said fuck a lot. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you did. And I thought it was funny while he was doing it.
Well,
so that's why I didn't stop.
He did ask permission.
He did, which was even better. I was like, I want that.
Right, so he did ask permission. I wanted to, from APTA, because I thought the episode was so great and he was such a great speaker at Next, to sort of honor that great interview and give people a glimpse by retweeting one of your tweets. Of course, you used one of his F-bombs in the hashtag, so I had to come up with a different way of sharing that. So you did me no favors.
Yeah, well, that's the cool part about like podcasting. I mean, when you go to school for journalism, and you know, I went a couple of years ago, there wasn't podcasting. It wasn't a thing. So literally, like, the book's just kind of being rewritten. It's like, can we say fucking this? I'm like, I don't know. No one's around, and I'm not getting a letter from the FCC, so sure, why not?
I've been fortunate. You know, the Packers job is a great example of that. There wasn't anybody doing that. So, I mean, it was finding my way and doing that. And then likewise, you know, when I got to APTA, a lot of the stuff that I've done, the social media stuff, when I first got to APTA, there was not a social media thing to do. Did not exist.
Yeah.
So we have figured that out in the time I've been there, and video, podcasting, great examples, and it's been fun and exciting to watch that.
The message is always the same, though, which is, I've said this before, talking to a guy who's a journalism major, the message is always the same. It's just a different delivery device.
Absolutely.
Like, cool, all right, you know, a lot of clinics that I go do rotations, and we'll say, I probably need a Twitter feed, right? I said, well, what do you want to say first? Don't ask me how you say it. We'll figure that. That's super easy. Twitter, everything's easy, but focus on the message.
Yeah, the tip I give people, so again, I've been at APTA long enough to watch this evolution, and the first evolution in social media was, oh my God, sort of the world's gonna fall, right? And what's gonna happen when this massive social media beast gets out there? And so there's a lot of sort of calming fears and risk management advice, and you know, do we need to do this? And do we have to create 5 social media accounts today and all that? And now it's really evolved. Now it's really evolved to how do we maximize this if we're gonna use it? People get it more now that it's more prevalent. But my advice to people whenever they're thinking about starting a social media account is always sit down. Write out what you, if it's for a clinic, for example, right? I want to brand my clinic. Write out what you would tweet for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
If that's super simple, if you can do that right away, you may have something to say. If you get stuck on day 7 and you're already repeating yourself, you may not want to do it.
If your answer is, I'm going to retweet interesting things, then you are a spam bot.
Yeah.
And no one's going to follow you. That's all you do.
Let's not talk retweeting, because I'm going to ask people to do that later. But
no, but that's all you're saying. Right. You know what I mean? Like, if that's your only benefit to someone following you, if that's it, come on, your noise.
Yeah, and likewise, too.
But sharing a good message, that's a different thing.
And it's all about resource management, too. So if you're looking at a private practice, for example, that wants to brand their clinic, social media is free advertising if you can, and super fast and easy if you're comfortable with it. If you're not, if every time you sit down to say something, you're going to take 15 minutes, it's going to be a strain that you probably don't have time for, and probably not worth it.
So we're talking about sharing ideas and big ideas, and you guys launched one, and I guess it was in the works for a while, because Erin Wendell, I'd emailed her about going to grab a beer, and she literally was like, can't do it, got this thing going on. I'm like, ooh, what is it? She wouldn't tell me, and you guys launched this big thing at Next, and I keep saying big thing, but what was it?
Yeah, so we launched the Choose PT campaign, and so if you haven't heard about it, it takes on the opioid epidemic, and if you haven't heard about that, my God, man, stop, and you need to. It's a campaign that really, we can talk about the opioid epidemic too, but it really dives into that, and then there are multiple aspects of the opioid epidemic. There's the addiction problem, there's the overdose problem, and how you treat people and getting the right treatment to those people, but then there's definitely a prevention aspect to this as well. You know, if you want to avoid the addiction, if you want to avoid the overdose, let's get people to not take as many opioids in the first place. And that's where physical therapy is just this natural solution. It was cited in the CDC guidelines that came out in March, which, to your point, we're already working in this direction anyway. And then the CDC guidelines came out, which was fantastic.
Good timing. Way to coordinate well with the CDC.
That was excellent. Yeah, they asked us first. We'll go with that. No, it was excellent. So we launched this campaign, and it's a campaign that we're working hard on in 2016, but it doesn't have any set end date. The epidemic, unfortunately, is not going to be done by the end of the year. The campaign won't be done by the end of the year. So right now, Choose PT is very much focused on that, but over time, it may evolve into other things as well.
So what is it, if you're someone who's a PT or a PT student out there, what does it mean? What's the message underlying it?
Let's start at the very beginning, which is just needing public awareness, right? Now, as you mentioned, we were working on this idea. We're kind of starting to plan for 2016 last year. Well, we were starting to plan for 2016 last year, and we were kicking around lots of different ideas, right? Which direction we want to go? What do we want our campaign to be? You know, we've got this large Move Forward brand, but we always do these one-off campaigns within it. So a couple years ago, we did a campaign about the 7 myths of physical therapy, and that got some nice media traction. And we did an AgeWell campaign last year, and that got some nice media traction. But we tended to do those kind of around National Physical Therapy Month in October, and they were focused around that. And we said, we want to do something that we can expand out, that can have, you know, bigger legs.
A reach.
Yeah, reach and longevity and all that stuff. And something that was, not that the other things aren't important, because they really are, but something that really had weight. Of course, the opioid thing was there. But to give you a sense of how rapidly this has changed, when we first started talking about this, man, we had multiple conversations about, is this an opioid campaign or is it a prescription painkiller campaign? Do people know what the word opioid means?
That's a good point.
And that was a lot of feedback we got early on. You know, do people know what opioids are? And we kept holding, the more we talked about it, first, not all prescription painkillers are opioids, number one. So that was an issue. But the other factor was, we figured, by the time all this happens, because it wasn't just going to be us, right, talking about this, opioids is going to become a word that everybody knows. And that's happened. And I don't want to make that sound like everybody is aware, because they're not. Let's start there. Physical therapist assistant students who have heard about the Choose PT campaign, who are intimately aware of the danger of opioids, that's great. But let's not assume everybody is,
right,
because they certainly aren't.
It's a good example, studying for the boards, just bringing it full circle. You start to feel like you don't know anything, because you'll start reviewing stuff you haven't seen in a year and a half or 2 years for this test. And I was reminded several times by, you know, faculty and staff that you know more than you think you know. But it's always good to remember that your patient or potential patients or the general public, they know less than you. And sometimes we think, well, the stuff I know is really commonplace and it's simple and everybody just knows it, right? I mean, it's everywhere. It's not. So spreading this is a valuable service. It's important.
Yeah, and you know, and of course we see it all the time. I mean, it's one thing to know it sort of from I've heard that. And it's another thing to be a person who's in pain, who's sitting potentially in front of their physician and the physician's about to scribble down on their little prescription pad, and to know it so well and understand it so intimately that you say, wait a minute.
Could I do something else? Something that'll help me with less side effects.
Yeah. And so on that note, I could go over tons of opioid statistics, but I
do
want to mention some.
Hit me, yeah.
Yeah, let me hit. So, I mean, a couple things just on the scope of the problem. So 2012, there were enough opioid prescriptions written for every American adult to have their own bottle of pills.
I saw that one you guys tweeted.
Yeah.
I was like, that's got to be wrong now.
But it's not.
That's insane. Yeah.
As many as 25% of people who receive prescription opioids long-term for non-cancer pain in primary care settings will struggle with addiction. So think about that. There's a huge number of people getting opioids, and potentially up to 25% in certain cases are going to struggle with addiction. Doesn't mean they're never going to get out of addiction,
right,
but they're going to have some sort of problem, some sort of withdrawal symptoms, something like that. And addiction's a big word, and it has major consequences. And that's something I think culturally we've grown to understand, broadly speaking, in this country over the last few years.
And now you have two problems. Now you have the pain and then you're addicted.
Yeah.
So you gotta get rid of two issues now, where maybe if you had tried something else, and I like to think physical therapy is a good option, but anything else is better than that, of doubling your number of problems.
Right. And then the other thing is just to look at, basically, since the late 90s, the sales of opioids, deaths related to prescription opioids, and heroin deaths, all of them basically have quadrupled. The heroin aspect is something, and one of the reasons that this has the attention of the Obama administration, for example, is the heroin factor. You've got this spike in heroin use, and I think we often think of sort of the scary 80s and the cocaine era and all that kind of stuff as, like, you know, which spawned Just Say No and all this sort of thing. And I think we somehow feel we're beyond that. And essentially, we're having this rebirth of that kind of a problem.
Right.
And the parallel to prescription opioids cannot be ignored. It can't. First of all, they're both opioids, right? Heroin and prescription opioids, both opioids. But the parallel can't be ignored. And this is affecting people, regular, everyday people. They aren't junkies. They aren't people who are just going out trying to have a good time. This is affecting people who have some sort of debilitating pain, need to cure it, and then maybe their prescription runs out. Maybe they become, the effects of the opioids start to be as effective over time because you start acclimating to it and you need something stronger. Whatever the reason, it's not going to happen for everybody. Not everybody who takes a prescription opioid is going to turn to heroin. We're not trying to say that. And the other thing we're very explicit about in the campaign is there are absolutely cases where opioids are absolutely appropriate as part of care. The CDC guidelines, which were released in March, state that. We're stating that. But it's just like the CDC guidelines say, first, their recommendation is start low and go slow in terms of opioid prescriptions. But the other thing they say is, look, if you're going to do opioids, and there are some cases, it should absolutely be combined with some sort of non-opioid option. The Choose PT campaign there is even saying, even if you're that person who's sitting across from their physician who's about to give them opioids, even if you think, yeah, I really need this, I need to be able to sleep tonight, I need to be able to do whatever I think the opioid's gonna do for me. If you're stopping there, if you're stopping with the magic pill that's gonna take all the problems away, it's not enough. The American healthcare system owes people more than that, and physical therapists can be part of that solution. So that's what Choose PT is all about.
Yeah. Close friend of mine had shoulder surgery, as a college athlete, shoulder surgery, and wound up getting addicted to opioid painkillers. And it changed him. It changed his life. Luckily, was able to kick the habit, but it took a couple of years out of his life.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Especially when there's so much knowledge and there's so much research pointing to benefits of anything else.
Yeah.
And there's ways to spread that information.
There are two epidemics that are in the news right now, right? Opioids is one, Zika is another.
I thought you were going to go with obesity because that's a third.
Well, that too, but I mean like in the headlines now, right? Zika has some challenges to prevention, right? Opioids shouldn't,
right?
I mean, comparatively, opioids shouldn't, and patient education is a huge part of that. Prescriber education is a huge part of that. You know, the other factor that led into this Choose PT campaign is that APTA is fortunate enough to be on the White House working group related to opioids. So once the Obama administration identified this, saw the scope of the problem, they brought people together. APTA is the only basically rehab group that's in that room, right? So the vast majority are prescribers. They're all people who are making sure the prescribers understand what their options are and all that. And APTA, we're not prescribers of opioids, but we're one of the potential solutions. And so because APTA was in that room and in those meetings, it just made it a natural fit to support that effort as called on by President Obama and really try to make a change in the country because it needs change.
Really, no matter what your political affiliation, especially around this time of the four-year election cycle when it's everywhere, having something like a White House partnership lends a ton of credibility to whatever you're speaking about.
It does, yeah. I mean, we would have been fools not to try to maximize that for sure. But then beyond that, I mean, I think you're seeing it. You know, Congress just took action related to opioids. I mean, this is an issue that I would like to think on both sides of the aisle, hard to fight against the epidemic that's pretty plain as day. And so I think you're seeing people unite and try to make change, and we just want to help any way we can.
Yeah. So talk about the elements of the campaign. Now, everything has a hashtag, and if you don't know what a hashtag is, find your closest 14-year-old girl. She will educate you on exactly how to figure out that hashtag thing,
right?
But how's this message going to spread? How are we gonna, now we have the message, going back to what is good social media coverage and spreading a good word, we have the good message.
Yeah.
How are we gonna get it out there?
The hashtag came last, you know, really. You know, we knew we wanted to do something related to opioids. We already had the moveforwardpt.com website, which is APTA's official consumer information website. That's where the it would live, right? That's where people would go. But then it was a matter of, you know, what's the message really telling people? We really wanted to emphasize that patient choice, you know, the idea that it's an active thing. You are taking responsibility for your health. And that's so empowering. That's such an empowering message to decide to choose this. It's also important to choose it because, you know, even in states with unrestricted direct access, right, so many people are going to be referred to a physical therapist. And so just reminding them on the very basic level that you have a choice in your care, we thought that was such a powerful word.
Yeah.
You know, not just with opioids, with anything. You have the right to choose what kind of healthcare you get. And so in that case, really rallied around this choose physical therapy idea, this Choose PT idea. So anyway, where does the campaign live? At moveforwardpt.com/choosept, there's extensive information there. And then how are people getting that information? Social media is one, certainly, absolutely. We also have online ads that are running right now. They've appeared everywhere from CNN.com to the health section of the New York Times to the health section for Fox to the health section for Huffington Post to WebMD. You know, they've been all over the place. And those will continue to happen. when we launched the campaign, because Next was in Nashville, we had some billboards in Tennessee.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool. And then the thing that I'm pretty pumped about, we're in production right now on a TV and radio PSA. So those will air potentially on, you know, networks across the nation when we roll that out. So we think that'll probably happen. We'll probably release the online version in August is what we're thinking. And we may hold the actual TV release until September, with the logic being that that's National Pain Awareness Month.
Okay.
And sometimes that's a good hook for TV stations to be
able
to say.
Plus, that's when TV gets good again. You know, everybody's not on vacation, you know?
Right. But it's a good hook to be able to say, look, this is important and why we think you should run it. And then, of course, that's backed up immediately after that with Physical Therapy Month, which is another great hook. So we'll be releasing that out. The other thing I just can't leave out is, you know, we went early to, as early as we've ever gone, I should say, to our chapters and sections, and really said, if we're going to make this work, it can't just be national, you right. know, that's spreading this message. We want you to be involved and we want to help. And so, you know, to use Tennessee as an example, since that's where we launched the campaign, you know, before we ever released word, they were working hard on it, trying to get things lined up, identifying patients in their area, because media outlets in Tennessee aren't going to want to talk to a patient in Kentucky. They want to talk to a patient in Tennessee right. who's affected by it. So the response from our chapters and sections has really been overwhelming. And we already know we have some chapters that are lined up, ready to do advertising in their own states. That's happened a little bit already. And I think you're going to see that this late summer and fall as well. So Choose PT, if you haven't run across an ad in your paper, in a magazine, and in whatever, hopefully you will.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, I want to tell you something about the Choose PT campaign that I don't even know if you know, a secret that I think it's kind of like an Easter egg, and we'll get
Do
into
I know?
Yeah, no, I don't think you know.
Okay.
We'll get into that, and we'll talk more about APTA communications and how we can get more people involved. You're an APTA guy, I'm an APTA guy, but not everybody listening is. We'd be bad podcasters if we had the show about an APTA campaign, didn't talk more about just the APTA.
That would be a career-limiting move for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Back in 60 on the PT Pinecast. Don't move.
Physical therapy and beer go together.
Right.
The PT Pinecast with McKay. Physical Therapy Day of Service is October 15th, 2016. Join fellow members of the PT profession around the world in a day of service to our communities. Here is what people who have already pledged have to say.
My name is Kelsey Miller, and I'm a third-year PT student at Mayo School of Health Sciences in Rochester, Minnesota. I decided to take part in PT Day of Service because of my passion for people and the global community. I think it says a lot about our profession to have a day designated to giving back to our community and to do so with our colleagues from around the world. My idea is for PT Day of Service on October 15th. As a local ambassador, I want to spread the word to other physical therapy professionals that this event exists. I really want to encourage others to be a part of this incredible PT Day of Service.
Pledge your support for the physical therapy profession online at ptdayofservice.com. PT Day of Service, October 15th.
PT Final Exam is an awesome resource for students preparing to take the National Physical Therapy Exam. 6-week online review courses with live webinars, personal attention from instructors through email, phone, or Skype, and practice tests. Choose from their Mastermind Study Group or the NPTE Home Study Bundle. Visit them online at ptfinalexam.com/pintcast. That's ptfinalexam.com/pintcast.
The PT Pintcast. Should he be drinking?
Yep.
And we're back in the PT Pinecast with Jason Bellamy from the APTA. And the Easter egg I alluded to before the break, I'm not sure if you know that. So the Choose PT, hashtag Choose PT campaign has been going on since you launched it at Next. One of the pictures, the graphic that you guys use.
Yeah.
On the left, it's a bottle of pills.
Yeah.
On the right, it's a PT.
Yep.
Holding and doing a straight leg raise
yep.
with a patient.
That is one of our ads. Yep.
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 Both Marymount University students. That's Stephen Rabel, the bald-headed guy,
uh-huh.
and just the leg of Sammy Ahmed, so two recent grads who were just finishing.
And we shot the PSA there as well.
Yeah, you guys shot yes. that. Oh, so, I didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
But those are my guys. Those are my classmates.
Yes. And huge props to Sky Donovan, who has been an unbelievable teammate in this.
Yeah.
It just helps to have PTs who can say, you know, oh, yeah, you need to invade our clinic for several hours. Please be our guest.
Steven was so excited, and we have not let him live that down. I'm like, you are a Choose PT man.
Yeah.
Because he's got the bald head.
A lot of responsibility.
Doesn't look like a PT student. Looks like he's been a seasoned vet.
He's a seasoned vet.
And okay. he is. He's going to be a great PT. Yeah. That was our Easter egg. So that's going on. So that's the campaign we're talking about.
Yep.
So I saw that, you saw that, if you follow the APTA on Twitter or social media. But how can someone else get involved? You know, we mentioned this off air. I had a lot of time in the last 3 years, kind of. I'm always in front of a computer as a PT student. We all are. So every once in a while we don't want to study, we go on Twitter or whatever. And it can easily get involved that way. So we kind of are more in the know than PTs who were in the clinic. And now I'm realizing that as I am now been in the clinic for the last 12 weeks, I'm missing out on a lot. I don't have enough time to just respond to all these emails. You know, even you and I just getting this interview together, yeah, is a pain because I'm seeing patients all day. By the time I get home, I just want to eat my chili and go to bed. So how can people get involved in a realistic manner? Because yeah, if we can turn all those people out there who agree with us, yeah, into people who are spreading the word, this is going to go even further.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other goals we had for this campaign was really to make it scalable. So, you know, we have the chapters who are coming in and actually putting real money into real online ads, you know, as we're doing at the national level. We don't expect PTs to necessarily go and buy an ad in their paper with their own dollars. However, we have seen that work. Kentucky, there was a clinic that basically took an existing Choose PT ad and then added some text below about how their clinic can help. That's a great opportunity. You're saying, well, I don't have that ad. But yes, you do. If you go to moveforwardpt.com/choosePT, one of the things that's there is a campaign toolkit. And there are actual print quality ads you can download. They're sized appropriately for most instances, whether it's a newspaper, magazine, whatever. So check those out. You can download those. And if you wanted to actually pay to place an online ad, you could do that. Most people aren't going to do that, and we get that. All the social media graphics, or most of the social media graphics that we share related to this campaign, also are there if you wanted to download those. And that's everything from if you want to share them on your clinic or personal social media sites, that's great. If you want to print them out and you want to put them on a community health board, right? You know, whatever's available and around to you. Every little tiny bit really does help. To your point, we can't assume that people are aware of this. We can't, frankly, even assume that if you work at a clinic with a ton of other PTs that all your colleagues, yeah, know. So just getting in front of them would be huge. You know, go print out one of the resources and show it to people. One of the cool resources we have at the Choose PT landing page is this patient pain profile. And it basically allows a patient to go and kind of put information there related to how they might want their treatment, right? Do they want to have opioids, for example? And other opioid-related questions like, do they maybe have a history of substance abuse in their family? That pain profile isn't designed to sort of direct necessarily their course of care. It's designed to let them have a conversation with whoever their physician is or their PT is about what their interests are. And of course, you know, in your podcast and others, it's the patient's goals that matter. Sometimes it's hard for patients to articulate what their goals, yeah, are. And so that's just a tool to help them do that. There's no reason that, you know, that handout can't be in the lobby of PT clinics as well. It's not just about getting people into PT clinics. Even when they're there, that may be a helpful tool to help somebody talk about what they want their care to entail.
Yeah,
what their goals are.
Just sometimes asking the question.
Yeah.
I get it now. I hear a lot of PTs, wise beyond their years, PTs telling me stuff, and I listen to it as a student, but it doesn't really sink in until I see it for myself in front of a patient. Just simply asking a question like that,
yeah,
can actually make them think about it. Maybe it's the first time they thought about that.
Yeah, really.
You mean I don't? But the doctor gave me the pills, which means I need the pills.
Exactly.
But starting that conversation brings them back to which exactly what this is. Choose.
Yeah.
Forget the PT part.
Yep.
You can choose your healthcare.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
And you know, the physicians aren't the bad guys in this, right? I mean, the physicians are having people who are coming to them saying, I'm in pain. And when a physician says, well, I can give you something that will help that, the people, right, are saying, great. So the patient has a goal. The physician comes up with a solution. And so it's going to take sometimes the patient being clear, like, I have a goal to not feel pain, but, and so we just want to facilitate that. Two other ways people can get involved, super easy. One is to, if you happen to know of a great patient story, especially if somebody had an experience with opioids, say, that wasn't a good one and wants to share their story about how physical therapy helped them. Doesn't have to be opioid specific, we like those. Go to the moveforwardpt.com site.
Those spread,
yeah,
better great than ads. That you can't make a real story up.
They're,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a place where you can basically say, I think I may have somebody, either you can say that if you do, obviously don't share the patient's details because that would be inappropriate. Better yet, go to the patient and say, hey, here's the link to the website. Go here. There's some basic information where you can basically say, yeah, I'd be willing to share my story. And then we're happy to reach out to those people. You know, one of the many things we have at moveforwardpt.com is a library of pretty compelling patient stories. And those do really well in showing how powerful physical therapy can be. And then the last thing is, and the simplest thing is, if you're not already, follow MoveForwardPT on Twitter and Facebook or Pinterest. And just at a semi-regular basis, share or retweet. Don't like, don't favorite.
Right.
Those are nice. They're really sweet. We appreciate it.
Ego stroke.
Ego stroke. But it doesn't get it to anybody else,
right?
Right? It just confirms that we're going on the right path. So the shares really do make a difference. And if you're sitting there thinking like, yeah, I don't want to inundate anybody with all these PT messages because my friends aren't all PTs or, you know, people who follow me or whatever. Okay, that's fine. I appreciate that. But I would bet at least once a month, when we've got a national healthcare epidemic, then it might be worth spreading the word a little bit about the dangers of opioids and honestly the awesomeness of physical therapy. Take pride in it. Right?
You're also not saying, hey, come see me. You're saying this is a choice. Like, again, yeah, that's absolutely. Why I kind of like the verbiage choose. You can choose. Absolutely. This is your choice.
Absolutely. So those are super easy ways.
All right. So you work for the APTA.
Yeah.
I've worked in clinics. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus.
Uh-huh.
Who the PTs that work there or the clinic in general are not in cahoots with the APTA. They don't see a value in it.
Right.
And I like to ask this a lot because a lot of times you and I, you go to conferences. As a student, I've been going to conferences. When you talk there, everyone's drinking the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the worst place to campaign for the right. APTA because everybody's already on the boat.
Right. Or a lot of them are.
Yep. A lot of them are.
Yep.
So if you run into someone, a PT, and it's hard because now it's like you are making a sell. You know, if you're human, you're into selling. What do you tell people as the benefits? Because a lot of them are not necessarily always visible.
Yeah. So first of all, let me start. You know, I'm not a PT. I perfectly respect that PTs have various reasons that they may or may not want to be APTA members, right? But the bottom line that I always come back to when it comes to that, and problem is, it sounds trite, but it's so true, is APTA is the members. And what that really means is, without members, there is no association. I mean, really, there is no club. It is an empty clubhouse. And
right.
In fact, there's not even a clubhouse because there's nobody to pay for it. Without members, APTA does not exist, 100%. Whether you want a lobbying presence on your behalf and the behalf of your profession, whether you want somebody doing a Choose PT campaign like this, it takes members. That, in the end, it seems simple, but I think that's the most important reason. Now, is that enough to encourage to change somebody's mind if they're sort of not seeing the value? Maybe it's not. I mean, I'll be honest about that. Maybe that's not going to convince somebody. But the reality is, the big successes that APTA has are because we have members, 100%. Beyond that, if you look at APTA from a critical perspective and you say, it's not doing enough for me, well, more support would help. It really would. Let's use Choose PT as an example. The reach of our national campaign does not include a Super Bowl ad. We don't have Super Bowl ad kind of money if we're going to continue to do all the many other things that APTA does. So if that's what you dream of, we need more people to help out. We just do. And I don't want it to make it seem like it's all about the money, but just the support and the participation as well is a huge part of it. Again, I use that example of Tennessee. You know, without our state chapters stepping up, without a national APTA, there's no Tennessee chapter to step up and do that. And so we've got this network, and this network allows us to have reach beyond what we could do otherwise, and then really, honestly, beyond the what we get in terms of member dues back in the association. So the other thing I guess I would add to that is, in the 12 years I've been at APTA, there have been a few times that I've talked to people who are not members and who are skeptical about APTA. And I have not necessarily been the person who's helped convince them to be members. Usually it's other PTs. It tends to be most impactful from another PT saying, look, I can't make up, you know, your mind for you, but this is why I'm a member.
Right.
But every single one of those people I've talked to has become a member, and none of them have stopped. And all of those people who were on the fence but get brought in end up becoming big advocates for membership. I can't say exactly why that happens, but there's something there.
We'd love to figure that out.
Exactly. Yeah. And so in other words, the people who seem to be the most skeptical but really think about it, really think about and ask to be challenged.
Well that's
it.
Good. I mean, PTs are by nature skeptical.
Yes.
You know, there's treatment techniques that, you know, some people will sell until the cows come home, and a good PT will be skeptical
as
and say,
should.
Prove it to me.
Yeah.
You know, prove me why this works. So maybe that's one point. Come to an event and be very, very skeptical and find out what's about. But I wanted to say, maybe let's use the Choose PT campaign as an example of what the APTA could do if a few more people were on board. There's no price to admission to sharing this campaign
Absolutely.
For hashtag Choose PT.
Absolutely.
So maybe you'd use this as your test drive if you're not a member and you say, all right, I'll jump on board. And if I convince a couple of people who also are not APTA members to jump on board, let's see how far this thing could go. And it's only going to help your field. It might not put any money in your pocket. And I don't think that's why PTs are doing it at all.
Right.
But it's going to help your field. And bottom line, it's going to help some patients.
Absolutely. And that's where I look at it. You know, I would hope that people who aren't APTA members would still feel that they can support Choose PT. You know what I mean? I would hope that they would say, I don't need to pay dues to share a tweet,
right?
So yeah, great. You know, we've made the resources available thanks to the members who have helped support that. Yeah, we want everybody on board with this, and you can help shape this. You can help extend the reach. You can be part of this, and maybe that'll give somebody a sense of the direction that the association can go and the things that are possible when people really start working together.
Yeah, I like it. So each episode of Pint, before we're done with the show, we have shots. parting shots. Parting shots of wisdom for people out there, for the campaign or for the association, or you can take this wherever, whichever direction you want to go.
I like this. You basically end the podcast like, be profound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put it on you.
Right.
I'm not going to sum up anything. You just go.
No pressure. Okay. So I'll drop some things out there. First, if you're a student, registration for National Student Conclave, NSC, just opened.
Right.
It's in Miami this
year.
Yes,
it is. Mine was in Omaha. I'm not saying anything bad about Omaha, but
you would have rather have been Miami.
I might have leaned toward Miami.
But actually, this you're going to hopefully lead where I was going to go. Did you have a good time in
Omaha? I had a great time in Omaha.
This is what I'll tell you about NSC. It's my favorite conference, first of all. Every student I have ever encountered who's gone to an NSC has loved it, no matter where it's been. It's basically got 100% satisfaction, so far as I can tell. So if you're a student and you're wondering, should I really do this? Well, yes, because basically you can't lose. And second,
it's in Miami.
Worst case, it's in Miami.
I'll do some unsolicited selling for the APTA's National Student Conclave to students. You got a bunch of highly motivated, mostly in shape, students at a conference and alcohol. I'm just going to leave it right there. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that's why you should go. I'm saying that's a definite reason why you're going to have fun while you're there.
No comment.
I said it, not you.
No comment.
I said it. I can do not you.
Yes.
We'll end on that.
No, I got more party shots.
Hit me.
Okay, right.
Multiple shots.
I'm drinking water, so I can take multiple shots. Also, if you're a student, you should know about the Pulse. Pulse is a monthly newsletter that goes out from students for students. If you are a student member of APTA, you get that. If you're not getting that, it's probably because it's going into your promotions folder in Gmail. So first of all, fix that problem, because you can't. But the other thing to know is that the Pulse is an online blog too. And so if you just follow the student assembly on Twitter, for example, when things come out, you know, those get tweeted and Facebooked and shared around. So as of the last few months, these things, rather than just being an email newsletter, it's now a blog. So you can go find those posts online. Again, they're from students for students. First of all, if you have topic ideas, you know, reach out to the student assembly and tell them what you want to read in that thing. But we've had some awesome pieces in there. You know, you were talking about your residency. We had some great feedback from some recent students about what they learned on their residencies and their advice. So, you know, if you're a student already, I encourage you to go find pieces like that. And then it ranges to other things like Choose PT. You know, we had a great piece in the most recent Pulse that was about why Choose PT really matters, and let's really understand what the impact can be here. And I think it's good to be grounded like that.
Yeah.
So check out the Pulse. I mentioned this, but I'll say it again. Retweet and share. Don't favorite. It's nice. But if you really want to make an impact, you can do it just with a click of the little share button. Do it once a month. Once a month would, like, imagine the reach.
Yeah.
If all of our followers
spread
just once a month took one of those Choose PT posts on Move Forward PT and shared that.
All right.
That would extend the reach considerably.
I like the parting shots.
Yeah.
Multiple shots. We can do a lot more together than we can separately, so make sure we share this and check it out online at moveforwardpt.com and choose PT, that hashtag choose PT. Jason Bellamy, appreciate you being on the show, my man.
Happy, man.
Follow us on Twitter at PT Pintcast and online at ptpintcast.com. It's like TMZ, except with way more important information. And no Miley Cyrus. Okay, it's not like TMZ at all. The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.